a production of South Dakota Public Broadcasting.
I'm Bailey Fish, and I'm from Brandon, South Dakota.
And I'm Chad Cruz, and I'm from Interior, South Dakota.
Thank you very much, and welcome. They're really the only non-static people. Hopefully the rest of us will be here most of the time, alive and well. Okay. Just a reminder to everybody, turn off all cell phones. I'd appreciate it if you wouldn't text or read your email while you're in the committee room. And particularly the committee members. Okay, we'll have the secretary do the roll call.
Representatives Elliott, Hansen,
here.
Hickey,
here.
Hubble,
here.
Ironcloud, Liss,
here.
Rosem,
here.
Sigistin,
here.
Steele,
here.
Street,
here.
Van Gerpen,
here.
Nordstrom,
here.
And Vercio,
here.
We have a quorum.
As soon as Representative Elliott gets to her seat here, we'll the approval of minutes of the last meeting.
Second.
Moved and seconded. Any discussion or corrections? This is a roll call. Okay. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Motion passes. I think we only have one testifier today, and have you signed in, madam? Well, thank you very much. I see you have your badge on. You're just perfect. If you have any handouts to hand out, you can give them to the pages now, and they will get them out. Once the sponsoring agency is done testifying, let me remind you to direct any questions you may have to me. These are pretty straightforward things we're doing today and not too difficult. So we will proceed with, got to find my bill number here, bill number 1026. Are there any proponents for bill number 1026.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. Deb Hilmer, I'm the director of the Division of Motor Vehicles. If I may, the handout that you're receiving was at the request of Representative Steele on those counties that do not have a wheel tax. So that will complete the list. House Bill 1026 really was brought to you as a cleanup. Currently, right now, today, if you have a fleet over 50 vehicles, you're allowed to register directly with the department and not have to go through the county. And we had two companies that actually opted to exercise this privilege. We have contacted both of those companies and explained to them what the situation is. If you remember, in 2008, we had the new computer system. And then in March of 2009, we implemented our internet renewal process. And we have perfected that internet renewal process where now companies can also go online and renew their vehicles. So these companies now have the option to go online and renew in that process rather than sending them directly into our office. The other benefit that that creates is then the counties that have the wheel taxes where these vehicles are being kept then will collect those, because in the past those were not collected because of the fact that they were registering in peer through our office, so they were basically not paying the wheel taxes. So it will create some additional revenue for the counties as well. So what we're asking you to do is to repeal this particular section of the law that allows for the fleet licensing and push them in the direction of doing either the electronic, or they can go to their county treasurer's office and register at that level. I'd be happy to answer any questions at an appropriate time.
Do we have any questions from any committee members? Representative Van Gerpen.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Was the money following and going back to the counties yet, even though they were going through the state? Because the county gets all the licensing money, or most of it.
Mr. Chair, if I may. Representative Van Gerpen, yeah, the money was then being distributed back through the distribution formula, but it's just that the wheel tax was not being collected of where that vehicle was. So it is going back to the correct county. So,
Representative Steele.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Madam Secretary, for clarifications, you said the wheel tax for those two companies would be collected as such and then go back to the counties that they belong in, even though those counties do not have a wheel tax? If that's the case, then they're okay, good, because if that's the case, they're paying and nobody else is. So, okay, I want to clarify.
It's only in those counties, Representative Steele, where there is a wheel tax, but there are a number of them that are stationed in counties with a wheel tax where it's not been collected in the past.
Okay.
So it really creates a more equitable system under our distribution. So.
Appreciate that clarification. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Yeah.
No follow-up.
Any other questions from the committee? Thank you, Ms. Helmer. Are there any opponents? Any opponents? Time to step up now. Okay. Committee discussion. Any discussion points on the proposal before us here? Hearing none, we'll go to committee action.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Nobstrup.
I move do pass.
Second.
Second by Representative Steele. Secretary will call the vote, please.
Representative Elliott.
Aye.
Hansen.
Aye.
Hickey.
Aye.
Hobble. Ironcloud. Bliss.
Aye.
Rosem.
Aye.
Sixted.
Aye.
Steele.
Aye.
Street.
Aye.
Van Gerpen.
Aye.
Norstrup.
Aye.
Versio.
Aye.
Okay, we have 12 yeas, one absent.
Consent was moved by Representative Street, seconded by Representative Nobstrup. Is there any opposition to that? Didn't hear anything. Very good. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Okay, now we will move on to House Bill 1027. And we are certainly lucky enough to have Ms. Helmer come back and with her smiling, happy face and present 1027 to us. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. Deb Helmer, Director of the Division of Motor Vehicles. And this is probably going to be the shortest bill you see this year, but some of you that were here last year will remember that we did some cleanup on our definition of trailers, changing the definition from 2 to 3,000 pounds for enforcement purposes, for how we classify our dealer licensing and that type of stuff. And this is one of the references that was missed last year. So basically, it's just a cleanup. It deals with trailers that have been rebuilt to classify those that are 3,000 pounds or greater as branding them as a rebuilt, getting an assigned serial number rather than a homemade serial number. So it just clarifies some processes that we have within the office. So we hope that you will support this bill, and basically all it's doing is changing it from 2,000 to 3,000 pounds. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Any questions from the committee?
Mr. Leader.
Mr. Representative Steele.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I guess my question is, why? Why are we changing from 2 to 3?
Mr. Chair, if I may, the reason that we changed it, if you remember last year, was for dealer licensing. We wanted some to move it from the 2,000 to 3,000 in our dealer licensing law to clarify when we do franchise agreements. So a franchise for a dealer doesn't start until the trailer is a heavier trailer, so that we weren't infringing on franchises for very small trailers being sold, multiple types of, or same types of trailers being sold in locales. So it's really just a cleanup in the mechanism of how you do the enforcement on franchises. And so it affected this particular section as well on our rebuilt, and to keep it so that you had to do a rebuilt trailer at 2,000 pounds, but yet we didn't do any type of other enforcement till it hit 3,000 pounds, caused some confusion. So we just want to make it clear that it's all at 3,000.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you both. Any further questions? Are there any opponents? Opponents to House Bill 1027? Okay. Seeing none, is there any committee discussion? Oh, it's going quick, isn't it? Seeing none, committee action, please.
Second.
Representative Street moves to pass. Representative Nostrup seconds. Secretary will call the roll.
Representatives Elliott.
Aye.
Hansen.
Aye.
Hickey.
Aye.
Hubble.
Aye.
Liss.
Aye.
Rosam.
Aye.
Sigistad.
Aye.
Steele.
Aye.
Street.
Aye.
Van Gerpen.
Aye.
Nostrup.
Aye.
And Verschio.
Aye.
12.
Thank you, Madam Secretary.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Nostrup.
Move consent.
Second.
Seconded by Representative Hansen. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Same sign. Thank you very much. I would like to, although these will be going on the consent calendar, if there are any questions, House Bill 1026, Representative Elliott, would you be willing to get together with Ms. Helmer and see if there's, she can give you a little short note in case anybody has any questions on the floor? Thank you so much. And Representative Hansen, would you do the same for 1027?
I will do.
Thank you, sir. Yes, Representative Street.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Is everyone familiar with what consent calendar actually means? I mean, okay, I see somebody over there shaking their head. If you could be so kind as to explain what the consent calendar is, I think that would be useful.
Yes, actually, what I'd like to do, I have a whole list of things, because I knew this would be short and sweet this morning. And so what I would like to do is not formally adjourn, but anybody who needs to get somewhere else, you certainly can, because I'm just going to go over committee procedures a little bit right now and what some motions and things are, so you don't have to be hung up here. You're certainly welcome to stay. Okay. One of the very first things that I want to talk about is please try and be here on time. We will start at 10 o'clock sharp. Every morning. So please make every attempt to be here on time. If there is some reason that you can't be or need to be excused, would you please let Vice Chair Nobstrup know so we can pass that on so that it is a valid excused absence from the committee. We'd certainly appreciate that. We have a reminder. I'll do that up front, but we'll remind you every day. Those of you who have requested and are using the black binders, please leave those. Just take them, put them up here like this, and they'll be collected then updated. Excuse me a second. I'm allergic to the House of Representatives. And I can't take a pill because it makes me go to sleep. That's really bad on the floor. Okay. Here's one of the things that I think is extremely, extremely important. If you know for a fact that somebody who is bringing a bill, and this is really important to all of you when you're putting bills in, and if it's even the lobbyists or any of the agencies, if you know you're going to have people from out of town come in to testify, if it's at all possible to let us know ahead of time, because that certainly helps with the scheduling. We don't, if we get caught up in something that's controversial and takes a long time, the last thing we want to do is have somebody take 3 hours to drive here in a snowstorm and then send them home without testifying. So we want to give as much deference to those people as we possibly can. I already talked about everything being on the internet, so please be careful in with what you say, especially if it's in the side. At least turn your microphone off, or that would help. Okay, let's talk a little bit about motions. The one that was pretty straightforward today. What can happen is a substitute motion. If somebody up here on the committee makes a substitute motion, that has to be voted on first. That has to go up or down. Then we go back. If it fails, then we go back and handle the original motion. That's the order that goes into. Does everybody know what the 41st day means? That means it's not going to happen. Okay, when someone makes that motion, there is no discussion. We go right to a vote.
You can discuss on that one. It's tabling. You can't discuss.
Oh, that's right. It's tabling you can't discuss. That one you can discuss. Sorry. So, obviously, I think everybody understands what tabling means, right? That also means it's not going anywhere. Okay. Now we're going to get to...
Mr. Chairman, is it not true that it's more common to make a motion to move to the, say, 41st day, even though we had a 38-day session, than it is to table? A tabling motion would preclude any debate, and a more polite way of moving a bill to its demise would be the 41st day in a much more common way?
Correct. Tabling should be used with great restraint, if ever. I think, I'm not, did we have a tabling motion at all last year in the committee?
Mr. Chairman, I certainly don't remember that. A tabling motion in my years here gets used when all other motions have failed to reach a consensus. In case of a tie vote, you'll see all sorts of little maneuvers to try and get a conclusion to a bill. I've even seen we've even moved bills to the floor without recommendation, because you got to get them out of committee somehow if you couldn't reach a consensus. But it would happen when the 41st day has failed and everything else has failed. You might see a tabling motion just to have one more vote to see if somebody will change. Thank you.
Representative Steele.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just could I do a little clarification on the 41st day?
Yes.
We might say why, like Representative Street mentioned, why? Why not 40 days? Why not 39 days? The governor has a right to extend this out. We have the right as a legislature to go 40 days. And if you say move it out to the 40th day, come the 40th day, it's back on the committee. So we always say the 41st day because we don't go to the 41st day period. But we can go to the 39th or 40th day. And then it's back on the board. So, thank you.
You're welcome. The other one that Representative Street was interested in explaining is the consent calendar. We talked about this in the Republican caucus just, I believe it was a Thursday probably. I can't remember what day it was. It doesn't make much difference, I guess. They want to use the consent calendar more this year. There's a couple things you have to remember about that. The consent calendar is one where you just, unless there is a comment, you can comment but not debate on the consent calendar. If somebody has a comment, they can comment on the floor, but it's a way to speed it up.
You can, I believe it's you can ask a question, but you can't comment. You can't debate it. It's non-debatable, but you can question, may have a question of the sponsor. And you can also remove from the consent calendar at any time. You can go to the, I think you can go to the front of the clerk and have an item removed from the consent calendar if you wish it debated.
Correct. Or you can do it from the floor.
Yeah.
Also, yeah, request it. So it's really intended for things like we just had today that are pretty much housekeeping type, or if it's, it even could be a hot button issue, as long as it's not consensus, it's, you can't have anybody against that. And if somebody votes no on a bill, even if it passes 11-1, we can't go on the consent calendar. Does everybody understand that? If there's opposition at all, it can't be done. Not only that, it has to, if I believe I'm correct on this, it's not the members present on that, it's the majority of the committee, correct? Is that right?
It's actually, yeah. Everybody has to vote for it. It's just the ones present. You don't. But the other thing, too, is that nobody can have testified against the bill, too. That's another part of the rule.
Yeah, sorry, I forgot about that. Yep. I don't know. That was brought up the other day in caucus, I believe. And I think it was a surprise to many people that that was there. I think Representative Greenfield brought that up.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, if, Representative Steele.
If I may just add to that also, as I understand it, if you're on the floor and do this, take it off consent, it has to go to the, you don't just turn around and debate on it, it has to go to the next day, is that correct?
Correct.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, it would have to be rescheduled, not for another committee meeting, just to come up on the floor.
Chair?
Yes, Representative Hubble.
I was wondering, if it goes to the 41st day, is there any way of bringing it off the 41st day?
Yes.
But you don't like that?
It could be hoghoused. Or smoked out, either one. Do you want to run through that?
Any bill that's tabled there goes to the 41st day. If you have enough votes in this committee, you could pull it off the table or bring it up for action, which usually the only reason you do that is to hoghouse it. Like, there's some other bill that needs to be done this session, so we'll put all new language in that other bill and then run with that. So, but it only happens a couple times a year, or in transportation it might not even happen in this committee. It just depends on what's going on.
And it doesn't take much language in a bill to, in the title of the bill, to be able to hoghouse it. I think we had an example last year where because both words or both of them had also in it or something. So it can be done. I have here, amendments. If somebody approaches you to do an amendment because they can't, it would be really nice if you would get that down to LRC, if you know ahead of time, have it drafted, have it ready to go, bring up enough copies for all of us and the sponsor, if the sponsor is going to be caught by surprise. unpleasant surprises aren't nice. It's been my experience. This is only my third year, but it's been my experience that most amendments are designed to kill a bill, not help it. So study them closely. Is that bad advice? Representative Streets looking at me like, you shouldn't have said that. Okay. Do you have any questions at all on procedure? Representative Steele?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just to mention something that happened to me 2 years ago, we have a committee. If your committee is 13, we had a committee that only had 11. I got it through the committee at 6-5. Thought, great, I was excited. Didn't count. You have to have the majority of the committee, and 6 is not the majority of 13. That's one of them we ended up tabling and finally got it passed. But this can happen if people are missing, and you have to have the majority of the committee to pass a bill. Even though I had passed it 6-5, didn't count. Okay.
Representative Street.
Along those same lines, the same rule applies on the floor of the House. It's a majority of the body, not a majority of those present. It's a device that can be used. If there's a lot of people missing a bill, you know, it would be known that a lot of people were going to be missing a bill that might not be in strong favor, might be on the floor that day, because it's much harder to pass when people are missing. It's only the yes votes that count. That's another way of looking at it. Yes is the only vote that counts. Really, when it comes down to it. Because there has to be a majority.
I just wanted to clear up the amendment thing a little bit, too. I don't need, nor do I want to know what you're... I'm not saying you have to run an amendment through the chair for approval. I don't know if I made that clear or not. That's just as long as you let us know so we're prepared to do it. And Mr. Orban is very capable of sitting here and doing it, but it's sure nice for him to be able to sit in his office and get that done a day ahead of time, that's for sure. Any other questions? I forgot to introduce Diane, our secretary here, and Dave Orban from LRC. Absolutely indispensable for us, and feel free to use Dave Ortman's experience, and Diane's helped me out with a couple of things already too. She's in her office, most usually over by the speaker's side, his office in the back there. Very, very helpful. And I also forgot to introduce our intern, Brandy Hamlin, who's sitting in the back. Brandy, you want to raise your hand? There she is. Feel free to take care of any questions that you might have, too. But please ask me first. I don't want you tying her up for days and days, because I gave her a project to do in the next 40 days that normally would take about a year to do. So I think she'll be able to get it done for me, because she's a pretty sharp young lady. So, anything else? Representative Street.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Could you review for the committee what type of questioning is proper of people that are here testifying? And by that I mean, I believe that questions of fact are the questions that we may use. We may not go to questions of motive, even though we might be suspicious of somebody. I mean, we don't know why somebody's bringing a bill, but it's not fair. It's not within Mason's rules to say, why are you bringing this bill? That is not legal. That is not proper, and it's out of order. And anyone can call that out of order if a question comes up like that. But you can explain it how you want, but that's my two bits on
that. That is a good explanation, and your questions should be very concise. There's no need to pontificate, or there's no need to speechify, or however you want to describe that kind of overblown, a very simple, to-the-point question will go quite a ways. You'll find out I don't have much patience if you decide to talk about your grandma and grandpa's trip on this road that you're now upset about because it's so torn up after 45 or 50 years of no maintenance. But That's obviously tongue-in-cheek, but I mean, those kinds of things, we don't need to know those kinds of things. So you stick to the facts and treat everybody with respect. If you have something that you might think is controversial, and hopefully you're reading the bills ahead of time, please get to the sponsor. Or for you new people, if you don't know how to contact any of the lobbyists, you know where the lobbyist's office is, just past the our post office there on the House side. They can get a hold of anybody for you there, and they're extremely good. I don't want to make his head get big, but we don't have any lobbyists, do we? Oh, yeah. They're extremely helpful, by the way, in most cases. And so are the people from the agencies and the departments. Feel free to ask them for assistance, too. Representative Knobstrup.
One other thing, and you guys can correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm pretty sure you can't comment and then move a bill. Like, you either have to move it or comment. Like, you can't do both at the same time. Like, I couldn't say how great the bill is and then move it, do pass. Am I correct?
Yeah. That doesn't mean, though, that you can't make the motion and then comment later. Yeah. Yeah.
If you want to comment.
If you want to. I'd like to say, too, if you have any questions, Representative Steele's been around a long time. Representative Van Gerpen is a boomerang. He's come back. Street, Sigstead, those people have all been here before. So feel free to lean on them. And it's my experience that you can really trust these guys over here on the other side of the aisle. They're not going to do anything to you that would embarrass you. They'll give you a street night. No, they'll answer the questions to the best of their ability. And honestly, I know. Representative Street,
you're really curious what I'm going to do now.
Yeah.
Should we have, being we have all this time, a discussion of how the term hog house actually came into being? I mean, it's an interesting story. You won't find it in any other legislature. But what it really means is you strip the bill. The title of the bill stays the same. And you strip all the language out, and you insert language that does pertain somewhat to the title. That can be kind of iffy, too. But how it came into being was, in years past, I don't know when, South Dakota State University needed to build a hog house, and they forgot to get the bill drafted. So they came to the legislature, and they went through the bills and saw one that had not passed, and they resurrected it, and they deleted the language, and they got their hog house built. And I think I'm correct in that story. That's how the term hog house came into being. So it's also a fun story to tell folks when you're back home.
Thank you. I thought I was going to sneeze there for a second. That's why I was doing that, Representative Street. Anybody else? If not, I'll entertain a motion. Is there a second? All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. We are adjourned. Thank you.
Thank you.